All right, now that the music's gone, we can determine. And I am being heard. Look at that. Cool. So, I have an interview to play for you guys, but before that, I wanted to give you the play or the rundown, I guess.
All right,
hold on. So my show is going to be called That Time of the Week. I'm usually going to talk about. I'm going to try to do 3 15-minute segments, and the segments are going to be. I'm going to get more segments. Need more, always more, better, more content, better content. So as of now, my shows are going to consist of probably This Week in Football, see what's happening there, and on This Day in History. If there's a lot going on with local, I'll probably talk about local stuff too. But other than that, it's sports, This Day in History, and interviews. So without further ado, I want you guys to listen to this interview with Gage Baker. He's a quarterback out of Paradise Honors in Arizona. How are you doing today, Gage?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. So how's it going, everybody? I'm here today with Gage Baker. Gage, tell us a bit about yourself.
So I am a 2024 quarterback for Paradise Honors High School out of Surprise, Arizona. Just a little bit about the program. We're a 3A school in Arizona in the 3A division, and we've made it to the state championship, finished runner-ups, but offensively, we were able to score 91 passing touchdowns throughout the season and put up one of the top passing offenses in the country.
Very nice. Now, Gage, tell us, how'd you get into football?
So I think it started from a young age. Whenever I was like 2 or 3, my dad would just throw me the ball in the backyard, and then we'd start going over like running little routes and stuff like that, and I ended up playing flag football for our City of Surprise League that we have out here, played football there, and then just went throughout the whole flag circuit up till I was about 12 or 13, and then switched over to the 7-on-7 circuit.
So sorry to bounce back to the earlier question, but what is 3A football?
So it's just one of the classifications. So there's different divisions in the Arizona like football division, so it's run by the AIA, so there's 6A, 5A, 4A, 3A, 2A, 1A. And then we play in the 3A division.
Is 1A the biggest?
1A is the smallest.
Okay, so it's... Okay. So, what makes a school 3A versus 1A versus, you said 6A?
Yeah, so just the main difference is the population of the kids at the school. So 1A obviously has the smallest, probably around less than 200, where us at 3A we have around 700 to 1,200 kids normally, and then it just keeps going up and up and up from there. That's the only difference.
Does that affect the quality of the football at all?
I don't think so, because in every single classification, it's just based on where you live. And to me, I think there's tons of different ball players everywhere, so just depending on the size of your school, just it tells you the classification, but there's no real talent level drop, in my opinion.
I mean, I think that's fair. I think that you yourself have done incredible this year. I was looking at your stats on one of the apps I have, and you put up quite a stat line this year.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
So, how did you go from your junior year from 54 touchdowns to 8 interceptions to throwing 91 to 10?
So I think just being a transfer from Laurel Canyon over to Paradise Honors, my sophomore and junior year, there was a lot of learning under a new system, the air raid system run by Coach Goodwill and the crew over at Paradise Honors, that it just took me and the receiver some time to get used to. And then with all of us returning, me, Josh Morales, Garrison Ast, Coleman Burkhart, Isaiah Thomas, Logan Pruitt in the backfield, I think us just being in the system for, it'd be our third year now, I think it just really helped us understand what everyone was doing, getting us on the same page, and then allowing us just to take off offensively this year.
Would you be able to tell us a little more about the Paradise Honors football program?
So yeah, the Paradise Honors football program, like I said before, it's built on brotherhood and trust. I think that's the main core values we have, because you have to be able to be trustworthy and be able to trust the people like they're your family members. So, again, we took the culture from a relatively not-so-good culture to a winning culture these past 2 years, making the playoffs, and then obviously making the state championship and being a runner-up. But I think it's really just the culture that we've built there is a really good culture with everyone that's kind of in a bond. So just know that if you ever went to Paradise Honors High School, that you're going to get some really good football, and we're going to put on a show.
You know, I don't doubt it. So I was looking at some of your accolades, by the way, and I noticed that you were a two-time winner of the Arizona Cardinal Player of the Week Award.
Yes, sir. That's a pretty cool award right there.
No, I think so. I was also reading the descriptions and the games that you got them on. You played incredible, 500 yards and 10 touchdowns, and the most recent one. That's astounding.
Thank you.
So, I understand that you have a few collegiate offers. What all schools have given you offers at this point?
So, up to this point, I have South Dakota School of Mines, Fort Lewis, Crown College, Concordia, Maricopa Mustangs, and Carleton College offers.
Are any of those, are they D1, D2, D3?
So, they're only D2, D3, and then I have one JUCO offer from a local Maricopa Mustangs, but no D1 offer so far, but there is, I have gotten some interest from NAU, and I've talked to Virginia Tech.
So, there is D1 interest there, though?
A little bit, yeah.
Very nice. Why do you feel that there's not more D1 interest? I was comparing you to some of the other quarterbacks that I was looking at, and your stats are arguably better than theirs.
So I think, just in my opinion, I feel like the small school kind of vibe that Paradise Honors gets in the Arizona area, I think it's one of the things that draws people away, just because they feel that the talent level drops significantly. But again, like I've said before, I think the talent level doesn't drop. I mean, you look at Sabino with all their players, the Berryhill brothers, Cam Hackworth, all of them. They're really good football players, and they can play at the Division I level too. So I think that's probably the biggest thing that we're trying to almost break the stigma of, but I think that's still the stigma, is just going to a small school, they feel like it's you don't play against enough competition.
So the competition level in small schools is similar to big schools then?
I believe so, yes. It's at the top levels of 3A and 2A, you get some teams where we go into a 7-on-7 circuit, and we compete with everybody, beat some of the big schools, and then whenever you get into tackle season, you just don't happen to play against schools with 2,300 kids and 100-kid rosters. That's just the big difference.
Now, did you go to any football programs, like training camps?
What do you mean by that?
Like, I can't think of any off the top of my head, but like, basically like, quarterback programs, school, things like that.
So, for like QB training, is that kind of what you're talking about?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I train with two different people. I train with Elevate QB Academy, Mike Giovanno. He's more of like my footwork kind of guy, talking about the basic mechanics. And then I train with Donovan McNabb, the former Philadelphia Eagles quarterback. And that's a lot of more about talking about the game, throws, footwork to different kind of routes and stuff like that.
That's cool. How long have you been working with those two?
So I've been working with Mike Giovanni since I was about 11 years old in 6th grade. So I've been with him for about 6 or 7 years. And then I've been working with Donovan McNabb since I was about 13 or 14, around my freshman year.
So you've been at this for a minute then.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
You know, dedication pays off in the end.
Definitely.
Do you have any dream schools that you would like to go to?
I believe there is some dream schools. Of course, there's always the possibility of staying in state, which I think that's probably why NAU would be a great offer. But I've really looked into Iowa State. That would definitely be a dream school, just because of their engineering program and their football program is also really good. Then even Virginia Tech can be a dream school for me, too.
Is that what you want to do outside of football is engineering?
Yeah, that's my intended major, yes.
Now, I think I probably know the answer, but if you if you become a nationally known prospect and the NFL comes calling, would you like to be drafted into the NFL?
Oh, for sure. I think that's probably the number one goal on every football player's mind. So definitely.
Is there a favorite NFL team you have?
Being born and raised in Arizona my whole life, it has to be the Cardinals.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense.
It's a little bit of a rough life, but...
You know, I think the Cardinals with Kyler Murray, though, have a decent chance.
Definitely. It's definitely improving. I think maybe after this draft, or maybe even the next draft, I think we'll be a pretty good contender.
I think so. Now, do you ever think about injuries that happen in football?
I mean, it's definitely something that's in the back of your mind whenever you're playing and looking at sports as a whole, but to me, it doesn't really bother me or shape my focus. It might make me play a little, just have it in the back of my mind that it can happen, but to me, it's not really affected me at all.
So it hasn't affected your, confidence level on the field?
No, definitely not. I mean, of course, like I said, it's always there, but whenever you're playing, you have to just know that you're going to do everything you can to try and win for your team.
Have you broken any records at your school? I wasn't able to find that.
Yes, so I am Paradise Honors Football's leading passer in all of the statistics, so passing yards, passing completions, touchdowns, everything like that. So I broke all of those records for the season and the career totals.
Very nice. Now, last I saw you were like 6'1", 145. Are those still like accurate?
No, so I'm still 6'1", but I'm around 175, 180 at the moment.
Very nice. Got to bulk up.
Yeah, definitely. I'm still trying to put a little more weight, a little more speed on.
Would you be able? So I also saw that you won the Ed Dory medallion a couple of times. Yeah. Would you be able to tell us a little more about that?
So the Ed Dory kind of medallion, that's a prestigious award for. It's almost like the Arizona Heisman Trophy award. So there's this year there was 77 total nominees. I was one of the nominees. Where you get an Ed Dory medallion. It's based on your season and your performance, and this is 1A through 6A of the AIA football, and then I actually was one of the last four finalists last five finalists with Navi Buzon from Liberty. He ended up winning it. Adam Muhammad from Apollo, the great running back there. Damon Williams, the U of A commit quarterback from Basha, and Brandon Phelps, the U of A commit receiver from ALA Gilbert North.
Very nice. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Have you ever been nationally, or I guess you are probably nationally ranked. Do you know your rank currently?
For statistics or just for the, like, rankings of players?
If you know both, I'll take both.
So for, like, rankings of players, I'm actually unranked.
Really?
I'm unranked. And then for, like, passing yards, I was the leader in passing yards in the country and passing touchdowns.
That's incredible to me. Sorry. My head broke for a second. Do you have a, do you watch college football at all?
Yeah. I just watched a lot of the bowl games and, of course, the college playoff games.
Now, I don't know if you remember, but we are from Ohio. Did you watch Ohio State lose to Mizzou?
I happened to not catch that one. I only saw it. I was, like, looking up all the bowl scores, and I kind of saw that one.
What do you think about Michigan making it to the national championship there?
They're a really good football team. I mean, J.J. McCarthy, quarterback, I mean, they have a really loaded team, a really physical team. The defense is playing really good. I'm not sure about you, but I'm pretty sure, I don't know, I think Washington might take it all in the finals.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Let me get a score for that. What do you think the score is going to be?
To be honest, I think Washington takes it only by like one or two scores. I think it might be similar to how the Texas game was, but I think it'll be 34-24. That's my score prediction.
Alrighty, all right. So, I take it you haven't committed to any school yet, right? Too early?
No, I have not committed.
Oh, when you do commit, though, would I be able to get you to call in and give your committal on air, too?
Yeah, we could probably set that up.
Very nice. That'd be neat.
Yeah.
Would you be able to, who are your wide receivers and tight ends?
So my receivers, going from left to right in our offense, so it's Garrison Ast, Isaiah Thomas, Coleman Burkhart, and Josh Morales. Those are the four starting receivers. Then we obviously have like Cougar Holt, Darian Zeeb, and Preston Brown behind them. And even my little brother, Traydon Baker, who kind of did his service to us on the O-line this year, but is becoming a really good tight end receiver now.
Do you have any favorite wide receiver, or do you like to try to, I guess, blanket the field with the receivers?
I mean, I don't think I have any favorites. I mean, they're all really special in their own right. I try and spread the ball around as much as I can just because they're all tremendous athletes, and they don't drop a lot of passes. So not necessarily a favorite receiver, but all of them, I love throwing to all four of them.
I mean, I think that's respectable.
Definitely.
Now, do you guys run the ball often, or how did your your snap count split there?
So I think we were very pass heavy. We had a hard time running the football this year. I think we just didn't have it just wasn't clicking for us in the run game. We were able to use it a little bit, but we weren't 50-50. We were pretty much 80 pass, 20 run. So we were throwing the ball a lot with 40, 30, 40, 50 pass attempts a game on average. So we were definitely a very pass-heavy team this year.
How do you guys rank compared to the rest of the teams in your division?
Passing-wise, we were the top in our division just because of we were kind of one-dimensional. I think we were one of the top passing offenses in the country this year. Rushing-wise, we definitely weren't at the top. I think we only had around 500 rushing yards the entire year, so it definitely was a struggle in the run game, and we were not ranked in the top for that. But total offense and passing offense, we were definitely ranked one of the top in the country.
Why do you feel that the run game was struggling while the passing game was, hitting on all cylinders?
That's a really good question. I'm not sure, to be honest, because I know we had a really good O-line. We had a really good back in Logan Pruitt, too, but I don't know. I'm not really too sure. I know we had a little bit of a younger line, but it's a really good question, and I don't know the answer to it.
Are there collegiate athletes that come out of your school often?
So we do have some collegiate athletes come out. It's been more recent. So we have Vance Cooper, who graduated last year. He went to Lake Forest College. Dylan Hoyt, he went to Benedictine College, I think. Mikey Young and Juco. We have a lot of people coming out now that are going to smaller schools, like D2, D3 schools from Paradise Honors, and are looking to get a lot more coming out of this graduating class right now, too.
So it's a school on the rise, then?
It is. It definitely is. It's a growing culture right now.
That's good. That's always good to hear.
Yeah.
Who all, do you guys have, I guess, rivals up there? I guess down there? Sorry.
Yeah. So we have two. So our first one is Odyssey Institute. They're about, like, 30 minutes away. I mean, it's, like, the closest rival we have. And then we actually have a new one called ALA West Foothills. So they were a newly built school just, like, 10 minutes away from where Paradise was built. And a lot of the kids from the bigger schools in our area, Shadow Ridge, Willow King, and Valley Vista, they all transferred into ALA West Foothills recently. They were all allowed to play right away with no transfer rule sit, so then they became pretty much our rival now.
What's your record against the rival there, or the rivals there?
So with ALA, we are only 1-1. They're a really new school. So it was only their second year this year. We won the first year 50-20, and then this year they beat us 49-48. We went all the way down the field. Last second, this blocked field goal they blocked, and they won 49-48. And then against Odyssey Institute, since my sophomore year, we've been 3-0, but before that, I honestly don't know the record. Before that, I know they lost the year before I came, but other than that, I have no clue.
But you have a winning record as far as you can remember.
Yeah, as far as I can remember, I'm pretty sure we have a winning record.
Very nice. No, I think all in all, the school's sounding pretty good.
Yeah, it's definitely cool. It's definitely a little smaller of a school, but it's definitely a really good school and a really good education program, too. Hence the name Paris Honors.
Would you recommend Surprise Arizona to people?
I think I would recommend it for sure, because there's a little bit of everything around. We have White Tank Mountains right next to us. There's different local attractions, different main brand locations. So I think it's definitely cool, and it's definitely not somewhere where there's tons of like traffic or like big things happening. But it's definitely a cool area for like people just to come out, hang out, even just live. I don't know. I think it's just a really good spot. I think I kind of like spurred it on. Didn't really make any sense, but I think it's a really good place to live if you're just looking for a nice, relaxing area just to kind of hang out and go to work, I guess.
What does your life consist of outside of football?
So I'm actually, like, a really big, like, music and off-roading person. So for music-wise, I play guitar and bass, and I've been playing them since I was around, like, 10 or 11 with my dad. Because my dad was a big like guitar player, bass player, singer for a lot of different bands when he was growing up. And then that's also kind of where I get my competitiveness from, was he was actually a national drag boat racer. So he would go around racing drag boats going over 100 miles an hour and 1,000 foot, winning tons of championships and doing stuff like that. So definitely going boating, and then going off-roading too, riding dirt bikes, quads, three-wheelers, everything like that. Just going out in the desert or going to, like, a motocross track and stuff like that.
Very interesting. What's your, do you have a ritual or something like that to get ready for games?
Not really. I mean, there's a lot of, like, heard there can be a lot of, like, different weird things people can do before games. But for me, it's just listening to music, getting, like, focused up, maybe watch a little bit more film, but kind of like a basic, boring kind of like ritual, but that's kind of really all I do. It doesn't take much for me just to get kind of focused and locked in.
Do you guys have, Do you I guess, do you guys have any, like, schools around, like, colleges around you?
So, we do have a NAIA school called Ottawa. That's, like, 20 minutes away from us, but there is ASU, Arizona State. They're down in Tempe. They're only, like, an hour and a half away. Of course, U of A is 2 hours away from us, and then NAU's two and a half hours away from us. So all the Division One schools are pretty much driving distance away, and then we have an NAIA school called Ottawa University that's like 20 minutes away from us.
Do they? Do any of them have sports teams?
Yeah, they all. I mean, if they all do. So it's U of A, U of A, ASU, NAU. They already have all their sports teams, stuff like that. And then Ottawa has everything too. It's all the sports you can imagine.
So you guys are like right smack dab in the middle of all of it.
We're really in like the middle of everything. We're only like 20 to 30 minutes west of Phoenix itself. So.
Oh.
So we're pretty much right smack dab in the middle of everything you want to do.
What's one thing that most people probably wouldn't know about you?
Honestly, I'd say it's just the instruments and the off-roading that I like to do. I don't think very many people know I can do those things. I think they kind of just think I'm just a football player and that's about it. But I mean, playing guitar, playing music, stuff like that, that's something that I've always had a passion for.
How are your grades, by the way? I saw on one of the websites I was looking at that you had like a 3.6 or something like that.
No, so I have a 4.5 weighted GPA right now.
Oh man, I was way off.
Where did you get that like information from?
I don't remember. It would have been one of the. I'm not sure.
Okay.
I could have just mistaked the first one to be a 3, but
yeah,
either
true.
Way.
True.
I think you're going to do good in the terms of college football.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
I'll be keeping up with you.
Yeah, definitely. I appreciate that. Let's hope.
I'll have you on more often.
Yeah, definitely. I enjoy talking.
Yeah, of course. When you commit, let me know so I can have you back on for the on-air committal here.
Yeah, for sure. I'll definitely let you know whenever we start to get that all figured out.
Sounds good. I appreciate it. Thank you for your time.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Alrighty. Just threw everything, but that was the interview. Okay, now that I got everything picked back up here, if you guys want to call in, the phone number is 740-383-9944. What'd you think about the interview? When I was doing the interview, I didn't think it was too good. I guess I was just overcritical, but listening back to it, it was definitely better than I thought it was going to be. By the way, earlier today, Scott had on Jason Schauber talking about the auditor resignation. In case you haven't heard, the auditor yesterday at 5 o'clock sent out another news release saying that she wasn't going to resign. I'm gonna read it for you here. I am writing to notify you of my decision to rescind my resignation from the position of city auditor effective January 5th, 2024. After further reflection, I have realized that my decision was hasty and not in my best interest or that of the city of Marion. Since submitting my resignation, I have had the opportunity to reassess the situation, and I believe that the circumstances surrounding my resignation need additional review. This has led me to reconsider my decision to resign. Yours sincerely, Miranda McGinnis. So there's definitely more there to the auditor resignation than I guess that they were trying to say there was. Because, I mean, if it needs to be looked more into, then obviously there's something going on there. So, I'm not, you know, one of these days I'll have to learn how to switch topics, but for now, I'm just going to have to switch topics like that. So, I have some on this day in history here for you guys. So I was just, you know, looking around. I went all the way back to 1531. That is when Pope Clement VII forbid English King Henry VIII to remarry. Now, I don't know how much you guys know about King Henry VIII, but he liked to marry and then divorce or behead his wives. he had quite a few wives. Let's see. Divorced, beheaded, died, divorced, beheaded, survived. So he had six wives. And then his last one, survived because she only survived because he died before he got to her. So there was that. In 1757, there was a failed assassination attempt on French King Louis the 15th by Damiens. Don't know about that, but you know, King Louis the 15th wasn't all that popular of a man, anyways. In 1781, the British led a naval expedition to burn down Richmond, Virginia, and it was headed by Benedict Arnold, none other than the American man himself. In 1836, Davy Crockett arrived in Nacogdoches, Texas, to aid in the Texas War for Independence against Mexico, which they won, and then there was the Mexican Republic for a whole, like, 9 years or something like that. The United States... 1846. The United States House of Representatives votes to stop sharing the Oregon Territory with the United Kingdom. We decided it was ours now. In 1914, following the great success of the Model T, American automobile maker Henry Ford raised his workers' pay from $2.40 to $5 a day and reduced the hours of the workday. Now that is a CEO that we would all love to have. Make your work less, pay you more money. He doubled the pay even. It was, you know, imagine. That would be a good time. You know, I like Henry Ford. He has a lot of good quotes. My favorite from Henry Ford probably has to be, whether you think you can or you can't, you're right. We have a caller. How you doing, caller? You're on, caller. Hello? Hello, caller? If that was you, go ahead and call back. For some reason, the phone wasn't working there. But, you know, Henry Ford was a pretty cool man. He invented the modern automobile, basically. We all appreciate that. In 1919, Anton Drexler founded the German Workers' Party, which eventually became the Nazi Party in Munich, Germany. That one was no good. We don't like that. I don't know what it was originally founded on, but, you know, we don't like the Nazi Party, so we can pass on that. In 1925, Nellie Taylor Ross assumed office in Wyoming, becoming the first female governor in the United States. First female governor. That's impressive. In 1927... MLB Commissioner Kenshaw Mountain Landis began a three-day public hearing on charges that four games played between Chicago and Detroit in 1917 had been thrown to the White Sox. Look at that. Who would have thought that baseball was rigged? Nobody likes baseball anyways. Terrible sport.
I think that was an editorial. I don't know what that was.
1933. In San Francisco on this day, 19, construction began on the Golden Gate Bridge. The Golden Gate Bridge was, oh, that happens all the time. It was things like that happen. The Golden Gate Bridge was one of the tallest and had the biggest gap between the average high water level. Up until there was a bridge, I can't think of the name, but it was built in Mexico in like 1990-something, I do believe, and it took the record, but it was held by the Golden Gate Bridge for a while. And the last thing I have on this on Today in History, if nothing else was really all too interesting to me, was the dwarf planet Eris was discovered in images taken 2 years earlier at Palomar Observatory in California. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I like my space. And space is pretty cool. So, like, outer space is neat because there's always more to be discovered. There's never, it's basically endless. And within our lifetime, we'll never have it all. Almost same concept as the ocean. You know, we only got like 2% of the ocean discovered. You're on, caller.
Good morning, Matt.
Good morning. How's it going?
Pretty good, pretty good. Of course, Friday is my favorite day of the week. I think it's nearly impossible to have a bad day on Friday.
You know, I'd have to be right there with you. I agree.
So, first of all, can you understand me clearly? Because it might, may or may not have been stated before that people have a hard time understanding me.
No, I can hear you fine.
Okay. So, Scott and I, we always chop it up, and we have a lot of fun with, like, the wood soup. And broadening, you know, pretty much my vocabulary, you know, because he's already, you know, a teacher and smart. I heard him earlier in his interview with Councilman Schauber use the word contretemps, I believe is how he said that. And I just want to know, I mean, I could get the Googler out, but it's just funner to pass the time to call in and harass you guys. What is a contretemps? I want to know if I've ever had one. Or do you know? I don't mean to put you on the spot here so early in the morning, Matt.
I do believe contretemps is like an argument between multiple people. And I think that's just about that.
Oh, yeah, I've had millions of those. You gotta dissect those million-dollar words.
You know, I mean that's fair. I think, I mean, contretemps is a good word, don't you think?
Yeah, well, and you know, that's one thing I've always said about this radio station. I swear that I have learned more in the years listening to and calling in and talking with you guys than I did the whole entire time I was in school.
And I'm sure that's good.
Where am I going to go today and converse with anyone and use a big old word like contretemps? I could go in. Well, okay, I'm not going to say that. I could probably just go and have conversations all day long with multiple people and try to pepper in contretemps and just, like, look at their expression on their face because they're going to look at me like, what did you say?
I mean, I didn't think contretemps was I guess, too unknown of a word.
So you think that you could go pick 10 random people out of Walmart right now and be like, can you give me a definition of the word contretemps and they could provide you with it?
No, probably not. I think you got me.
Okay, that's rule number one, Matt. I don't like to be challenged.
I mean, fair enough, all right?
Keep up the good work. You're doing a fine job. Bye, Matt.
Bye, thank you. All right, that was Sarah. We love Sarah. Sarah's great. You know, the other day, it's happened more than once now. I go to rallies a lot of the time when we leave the radio station because it's not too far away. And I order a sandwich that comes with, like, ketchup, mustard, mayonnaise, I think. And I always ask for it without the condiments. And I have now had, on, like, two or three separate occasions, had the people in the drive-thru window say, "What are condiments?" And I'll say, you know, the sauces. And then say, "Oh, you mean the squishy stuff?" I'm like, what are you talking about, squishy stuff?
Well, pull up today and say I've had a contretemps with somebody.
over condiments.
Over condiments.
I've had a contretemps over condiments.
Contretemps over condiments.
their eyes will bug out. I don't know what to do.
You know, I think this week has been a good week overall. I worked yesterday. Oh yeah. I appreciate that. I think yesterday was probably yesterday was a little rough. I worked 4 a.m. to noon. 4 a.m. to noon's never a good shift to work. It's pretty nice, though, because you ain't got to deal with all the people who are coming in shopping. You get things done. But other than Kroger, I went to my grandma's house yesterday. Everything going good over there. My brother's car ran out of air. Had to put air in the tire. Speaking of this morning, he woke me up at like 5 in the morning asking me if he could take my car to work because his tire was flat. I told him that no, because I needed my car. So he had to, then he drove to my grandma's to get to get the piece to put air in your tire. And the air compressor we have doesn't have the right adapter piece, so it was useless anyways. We couldn't use the adapter, so Caleb just had to go get air in his tire somewhere else. Yeah, I mean, it was unfortunate, but he was late to work, I do believe. But that'll happen when you ain't got air in your tire. So, what are you going to do about it? If you have anything to say, you can call in 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Do you guys watch any sports other than, you know, baseball? Scott likes the baseball, but baseball's no good. Oh, look at that. We got Scott and Pastor Craig here.
Imagine. How does that ever happen?
I'm orange.
There you go.
There you go.
I didn't know what number orange was. Yeah, but I can't see orange, you know?
Well, you can pick that card up.
We have a chart.
I picked it up, that's why.
Well, baseball.
Baseball's not a good one.
Baseball's not a good.
Scott's second favorite sport to watch is city council meetings in the last 2 weeks.
And if there aren't a lot of contretemps there, I don't know where you're going to find them.
The city council meetings in the last few weeks have been intriguing.
They have been.
There's a lot going on at the city council meetings, as of here recently, at least.
You know, I didn't get a chance to bring you in during my two-hour conversation this morning, but what do you make of the whole thing?
You know,
we'll talk more about this at noon, by the way, and Pastor Craig's up next from 11:15 to 12.
I think that there's I think that you can't say that there wasn't a deal now, or I guess you can, but if you say that, you have to somehow rationalize how Miranda McGinnis supposedly feels that the circumstances surrounding her resignation need additional review.
What do you make of her just not resigning? 24 hours beforehand, she says, I'm not going. Who else? There's been famous people who said, I'm not going.
Yeah, there have been.
Yeah.
You know, I don't recall who it was, but we were talking to somebody about the Miranda McGinnis situation.
Hey, I'll tell you who went and said, I'm not going. The captain of the Titanic.
There you go.
This is very similar in a lot of ways.
Going down with the ship.
That's right. I'm not going. You're trying to get me into a lifeboat, but I'm not going. You know what I want to say, because I didn't get a chance to say this during the interview earlier, and why not take this chance to do it on your show?
Why not?
Thank you for allowing me the opportunity to say this on your show. But here's what I want to say. I want to say, you know, I like Miranda McGinnis. I like Bill Collins. I know these people. And I just think it would be certainly in Miranda's best interest now to say something before Monday. Because once, at some point, your story is going to come out. And to say it in your own words, and to say it in a place that maybe is not a place where you are sworn in, not that you're going to lie, but a less formal setting, I guess, is probably what I'm trying to say, I think is something you should really give thought to. Because if you think people aren't going to start asking, they are. And I would want to get it out of the way as quick as possible. Tell it first, tell everything, and I think it makes life a lot easier.
Yeah, I agree. It's kind of like the old Scott Scherzer, you know, tell it first, tell it often, tell it all.
Yeah.
Or whatever it is.
It's something similar to that. Yeah, I was going for it, but I couldn't remember.
And I couldn't remember it exactly, but that was the gist of it. You know, be the first one to tell it and tell it all and get it out there.
And honestly, I'm not knocking internet written sites and I'm not knocking newspapers, but they do pick and choose what they want out of an interview to run. And that has always been the great appeal of radio, is that you are live. It's what you say. It's in your own words.
Because even with radio or television where they record it, there again, they pick and choose what parts they want to show, what parts they don't. But when it's a live interview, you get all of it, and you hear it in the proper context.
And I will tell you, there have been opinions that have changed about people after they have spoken. Because when people are talking about you, you can form your own opinion. But when you're talking about you, different story.
Absolutely.
I think that if you don't think you did anything wrong, there's no reason not to say it.
Well, I just think Miranda is in a... But I also do want to say I think she's in a very hard position right now. Must be a rough day for her.
Oh, I wouldn't doubt it. She had to, send that letter of, to resend her resignation. And now she's... I wonder if she's going to go to the city council meeting. But if she does, she's probably going to get bashed over the head there a few times. So she's got a lot going on there.
Could be.
Well, with about 10 seconds left here, I just wanted to say thank you guys for listening to my first show and for Scott Spears and Pastor Craig.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Enjoy.
You're listening to The Talking Place. The legendary star of The Facts of Life, Charlotte Ray, Mrs. Garrett.
Yeah. Is it how much of Mrs. Garrett is in Charlotte Ray?